Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters, and this is Background Briefing. And joining us now is Robert Gerke, who's a politics and government reporter for the Salt Lake Tribune. He has been covering the case of the former Attorney General of Utah, John Swallow, who resigned in last November after less than a year in office amid growing scrutiny of political corruption. Tuesday's New York Times has a front page story talking about this, the State House investigation of this former attorney general. But you were on it from the beginning. And I guess it is getting a lot of publicity because it's kind of a textbook case where a candidate colludes with wealthy corporate backers and promises to defend their interests. And then these companies spend heavily on this candidate. But of course, they hide the money by funneling it through nonprofits. So let's go back to the beginning. When did you first get wind of this story?
Well, I mean, we've been reporting on this. I guess our first story broke in January, just after he'd been in office for about a week. And that story was more focused on arrangements he had made with, you know, wealthy donors, wealthy backers, businessmen who had supported previous campaigns that he'd been involved in. This issue with sort of the dark money, as it's called, with the 501 being funneled or laundered through the 501c4s, was something that really kind of came to light largely because of the investigation that the House committee had done. They had the ability to get at some records that we were unable to get at. And so, you know, what they found was obviously that there were hundreds of thousands of dollars, most of it from the payday lending industry, that had been channeled to the Attorney General's campaign through these 501s, used for, you know, attack ads on his opponents and so forth, and done so that it wouldn't come back to show the linkage between the payday lending industry and the candidate, because they felt that might be damaging to his, you know, politically damaging as he was running the campaign, to be seen as the candidate of the payday lending industry.
So, but this fellow Swallow had already worked as a lobbyist for one of the biggest payday loan companies, Check City, in Provo, right. Utah, whose founder apparently he was sort of thought walked on water.
Yeah, they had a very close relationship. You know, Richard Rawl had given $100,000 through these 501s to Swallow's political effort. You know, and he had spent close to 5 years, I think, working as a lobbyist, a government relations advisor to Richard Rawl in Check City. So the tie was there before. It wasn't something that was unknown. But then he had left the payday lending industry in 2009 to go work for the Attorney General's office, and then in 2012 was when he was actually running for Attorney General himself.
And this money that came, I mean, first of all, didn't he give advice to the payday loan industry saying, look, you know, you guys have got a bad reputation, which is, of course, justifiable since they charge more interest than the mafia would ever dream of, sometimes up to 400%, and prey upon poor people. And they've even been banned from being near military bases by General Petraeus's wife. Holly Petraeus led the charge to get Congress to stop these predators from going after service people. Not that they have stopped doing it. So it has a justifiably ugly reputation. So the candidate then tells these people that you got such a bad name, so we're going to have to hide the money through these vehicles that have become the favorite, instrument du jour of campaigns. You know, Karl Rove and others have been, creating 501c4s, overnight and often, shall we say, you know.
So, yeah, I mean, these are becoming a fairly common tool of the political consultants and the political campaigns to, you know, I mean, we saw them in the most recent presidential election used pretty broadly, frankly, to to allow unlimited amounts of money from undisclosed individuals to be used for, you know, who knows what in terms of supporting candidates. And this is just one of the instances that have arisen recently where this has come back to, or maybe there's been some light cast on the use of these tactics.
But specifically to get the money, and first of all, didn't the candidate and his political advisor, they also took fees from this money, didn't they, for themselves?
The political advisor did. It's a little right. less clear, I think, whether the candidate did himself.
Right.
And there was an attorney who was helping the consultant set these up, and this attorney has been, you know, setting these up in other states as well. Pennsylvania is one prominent example where he set these up. And one of the things that was kind of interesting about it is there is in some of the court records that have accompanied this investigation, a confidential informant said that, who had worked on the campaign, told investigators that they had witnessed these two, the attorney and the consultant, fabricating the books, cooking the books when they submitted it to the IRS, because under the IRS rules, you can only put a limited percentage of the money you raise toward political causes. Some of it has to go toward social welfare and whatnot. So the confidential informant had said they witnessed him cooking the books. The IRS later came back to these guys and said, you know, we'd like you to provide us with additional information about your filing. In the latest report, one of the interesting, really interesting pieces of it was they felt like they didn't have to provide the IRS with that information because there was this flap involving the IRS cracking down on conservative groups. And they felt that because of the turmoil that the IRS was in, that they could disregard the request from the IRS to provide them the additional information, which is sort of an interesting fallout from that sort of national scandal about the IRS targeting these Tea Party organizations.
Which, of course, was itself, you know, like the Benghazi story. It was it was just somewhat trumped up, and a very only a small part of the picture was presented, because they went after, I think, more liberal groups than they did conservative groups. Again, I'm speaking with Robert Gerke, who's a politics and government reporter for the Salt Lake Tribune, and he's been following the case of the former Attorney General of Utah, John Swallow, who's become a textbook for how to create 501c4 organizations, which are tax-exempt vehicles supposedly meant for social welfare that are being used now to hide the donors. In this case, he went to the donors and he'd previously worked for and said, I'll become your champion of payday lenders, but you can't put your name on this because you're unpopular, so we'll create these fronts. And then the money that he used was used for attack ads to hurt this fellow called Brad Dorr, a four-term Utah state representative who was a Republican and who'd been pushing for legislation that would have, you know, reined in these payday companies from making loans to individuals already deeply in debt. So there's a win-win for them there, right?
Right. The money, yeah, that's true. That's a good point, because the money wasn't all used for John Swallow's political campaign. Some of it did go to run attack ads against John Swallow's opponent. But, yeah, a good portion of it did go to run attack ads and mailers and hit pieces against this state representative who had proposed. What he had proposed was creating a database where if you go in to get a new payday loan, it puts your name through the database to see if you have other outstanding payday loans, just to keep people from getting in, you know, so deep over their head that they couldn't get out. Of course, the industry opposed this. They fought it. They ended up defeating Brad Dodd, who was, you know, a fairly popular incumbent in a conservative district, and they beat him with another Republican who, you know, so yeah, that's where part of the money went. And again, you know, it was channeled through the 501 to organizations that were, you know, and the money wasn't reported. The sources of the money wasn't reported. In fact, while these attack ads were going on against Representative Dahl, we asked the person who was running the ads whether they were tied in any way to the payday lending industry, and he said that they weren't.
So that's the beauty, if you will, of these vehicles, right? They hide the donors, they hide the amounts, and they always come up with some mom and apple pie label, don't they?
Absolutely. I mean, this was the proper role of Government Education Association. it was putting money into a group now that is called the Hope Change Organization, which I think is probably a play, you know, on the Obama slogans from his presidential campaigns. But, you know, so, yeah, they come up with these very either generic or patriotic kinds of names. And even when you find out where the money was coming from or where it was going, it, you know, in this instance, for example, it's well after the damage has been done or the outcome has been decided.
So tell me, Robert Gerke, again, a politics and government reporter for the Salt Lake Tribune, there are some indications that at least two of the prosecutors involved in this long-running investigation of Swallow, one's a Republican and one's a Democrat, have apparently said, this is according to one of your articles that I'm looking at now, that their inquiry turned up allegations of misconduct by the Republican Senator Mike Lee of Utah and Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid, a Democrat of Nevada. So tell me, is there a smoking gun there?
Well, this in January when we reported on this initially, and we're talking January of 2013, so over a year ago, there was an allegation that was made that the online poker playing industry had made essentially a bribe to Senator Reid to support legalizing online poker in the United States, and made a cash payment of over $1 million to an organization that was affiliated with him. You know, that is something that presumably would be under the federal purview, but these, you know, the county attorneys certainly don't have the resources to look at anything like that. So there were, I guess the short answer is there were allegations arising from Senator, you know, relating to Senator Reid early on. These county attorneys recently have said, you know, there are other issues that related to Mike Lee, and they just don't have the resources or the legal reach, I guess, jurisdictional reach to investigate and prosecute these as they might need to be done. Now, the U.S. Attorney's Office and the Department of Justice did investigate some of the matters arising out of the Swallow case early on. I mean, they were actually investigating this potentially all the way back into early 2012. In September of 2012, the Public Integrity Section said it specifically as it pertained to the Attorney General at the time that they weren't going to be filing any charges against him. So it's kind of hard to tell because these federal investigations do kind of take place behind the curtain, so to speak, you know, and so they may be looking at it, maybe they've looked at these, you know, and but these county attorneys have said they did acknowledge that there have been some allegations or alleged impropriety that pertained to those two senators. So it could have a wider reach than what we've seen so far.
And of course, Senator Mike Lee is an extraordinary case where he's the Tea Party favorite, and he became senator through a caucus, not even an election, knocking off an incumbent who was very conservative. That always struck me as being pretty extraordinary. And he apparently has raised, or he had this attorney general, this fellow that's we're talking about, Swallow. He apparently raised money for Lee's successful 2010 campaign, rounding up donations from a St. George businessman, Jeremy Johnson, whose company, iWorks, prosecutors alleged scammed customers out of $275 million. Well, tell me what's behind that.
Well, that was sort of what spawned the original stories, again, back in January, was that Jeremy Johnson believed he was under investigation, and he went to Swallow to seek some assistance with this. All of these meetings occurred back in the 2012 timeframe, and Swallow put him in touch with Richard Rawl, who we talked about, the payday lending contact. Johnson paid some money to Richard Rawl, who hired lobbyists who were close to Harry Reid to try to get the investigation into Jeremy Johnson's supposedly fraudulent business quashed. They didn't work. They filed the charges anyway. They filed the civil case against him and froze his assets, and then later criminal charges came. And so Jeremy wanted some of his money back. And so that was sort of the origins of this. Now, in 2010, when Mike Lee was running for U.S. Senate, John Swallow went to Jeremy Johnson and or went to Mike Lee and said, I can help you raise some money. And one of the people he went to raise some of his money from was Jeremy Johnson, who went out to some of his business associates and ended up raising somewhere, you know, it was well over $10,000. And then, you know, Mike Lee also employed this Jason Powers, who was the consultant that set up these 501s for John Swallow as well. He worked on his campaign. So there, you know, it is sort of it all kind of ties back in together in to some degree. And I think there will be, you know, the House investigative report shed some light on some of the relationships between particularly pertaining to John Swallow and these consultants and Jeremy Johnson. And I think there will probably be more coming to light as this sort of unfolds.
Well, of course, the final irony is that this Jeremy Johnson, whose iWorks business apparently scammed customers out of $275 million, the checks that he arranged for Senator Mike Lee, four of them bounced.
Yeah, these were checks that were written by associates of Jeremy's that he kind of helped round up. And, yeah, there was a lot of money that flowed in and out of his businesses, and apparently they had some problems with the cash flow on that one. The other thing that Jeremy Johnson was involved in, and I kind of touched on this a little bit earlier, but it's important to note that he was also a partner in a company that processed online poker payments. And that ties back into the payments that were made to, that were allegedly, that Jeremy said were made to Senator Reid.
Right. Well,
to try to get his support for the online poker industry. So that's another aspect of this, that where a lot of the money comes through.
Well, I thank you so much for joining us here today, Robert Gerke.
All right. Thanks for your time.
Again, I've been speaking with Robert Gerke, who's a politics and government reporter for the Salt Lake Tribune. We're going to take a brief station break and be back talking about what we're going to be talking about the Democrats' Obama problem.